This is IMO with Tom Jackson, part of the Wednesday afternoon show. It's the news, but not as you know it. But first, of course, to kick it off, my favourite segment, which is, of course... Yeah, of course, it's IMO. IMO, of course, standing for In My Opinion, my favourite segment, which is definitely not because I'm hosting it. It's where I take news stories from all across the internet and compile them onto a lee sheet of paper. I bring that into the studio and then I talk about them and then ask your opinion on it. Now, because I'm flying solo today, I really do want to hear your opinions on all of the things we're going to be discussing today. You can send us texts to 60777, starting that message with BR6TT. You can also contact us via Twitter on at Vectis Radio. That's the handle for that, for the Twitter. That's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. Now, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, the stories that I definitely want to be talking about this particular week are the 12 boys trapped inside a cave in Thailand that have been miraculously found after an amazing kind of rescue operation. And then also, I'm wanting to talk about advertisements that have been playing alongside the hit show Love Island. It's a Marmite thing, to be honest, that programme. You either love it or you hate it. I'm not a massive fan myself, but of course you can disagree with me. That is entirely up to you. Anyway, the final story that I definitely want to talk about this week is Exam Board OCR being fined over a Shakespeare question in last year's GCSE exams. We got bad manners now, and then we will be back with the first story of the day. Bad manners, nini nana nudu. That's taking us back to the 80s there on Vectis Radio. This is, of course, IMO, my segment. IMO, of course, standing for In My Opinion, where I take news stories from all across the internet, talk about them, and then ask what you think about them. The first story up today is coming from the incredibly popular, but in my opinion, somewhat annoying television show, Love Island. And it's all about the ads. Now, a lot of people object to the kind of things that the program is kind of showing and kind of whether it makes sense, what it's encouraging. But this particular story is all about some ads that have been running alongside it. And ITV2 is the channel it broadcasts on. They've come under fire for this. Now, the TV phenomenon that is Love Island is plastering itself across screens all across the country at the moment. Now, amidst, as I said, the usual grumblings about the show's format and what it promotes, there is actually a much more serious discussion that has arisen. Adverts on the ITV2 show for cosmetic surgery have played alongside the show featuring the tanned and toned contestants of Love Island. Now, this is raising serious concerns with the chief executive of the NHS England, saying that it's playing into a set of pressures around body image. Now, body image is an incredibly relevant issue at the moment. I've seen recently, I believe it was the Young People Select Committee. I may have said that completely incorrectly, but they recently released a report into young people's body image. And because the audience of Love Island is, this is me assuming and projecting my thoughts on the show. I'm assuming that it is quite a young audience, but I think I'm kind of right there when I say that, because a lot of the people that I know watch it. I don't personally. I'm too tired. But it's... The things that it's promoting and these ads for cosmetic surgery in combination with a kind of a show that is like Love Island is, to me, very unhealthy. It doesn't promote the right things on body image. And in a world where we are very, very pressured to look a certain way and act a certain way, it is kind of very disconcerting to see ads like this being played on shows like that, and it really can have a negative effect on people. But of course, that is my opinion, and the key thing about this show is that we want to hear from you. If you agree with me, if you disagree with me, I would love to hear your thoughts regardless. If you think it's fine for these ads to play alongside Love Island, if you think there's a real problem here, if you just want to sound off about any of the other kind of things that I touched on while talking about this particular story. We would love to hear what you think. You can send us a text using the number 60777, starting that message with BR6TT, and you can tweet us at Vectis Radio. Ed Sheeran now. We'll be back in a moment with the next story. Blue Tones, Marblehead Johnson. That was way back from the 90s there on Vectis Radio. Now, before the break, we talked about cosmetic surgery ads playing alongside Love Island. And an additional question that I had on that one is that should there be an outright ban on cosmetic surgery ads, like the ban on ads for tobacco and smoking products that was put into place, I believe, in the 90s, funnily enough, after that 90s track. But yeah, so again, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that one. Moving on to the next story, however. Which one do I choose now? I'm going to talk about OCR. Now, that's an exam board. So they're the people who write the annoying questions that that us students don't really like very much. But they've been handed down a fine over a mistake in a question on a GCSE paper for last year's run of exams. And the board faces a fine of £175,000 for a question which incorrectly made Tybalt, a main character in Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, a Montague when he is actually a Capulet. Those are the two families that are feuding in the story. And I'm going to mispronounce this. I believe it's Ofuqual. Anyway, the regulatory board for exams have said the paper was not fit for purpose and have handed down this fine. And apparently up to 5,000 students were taking that exam, doing that play last year. So potentially up to 5,000 people were affected by this blunder. And it's just an incredibly interesting thing there. And it's something that I definitely want to ask the people listening about, because this kind of sets a precedent, doesn't it? Because I don't remember, this may be me being forgetful, but I don't remember exam boards getting fined like this for blunders. And after a recent French A-level listening exam, managed to play the wrong audio for the right question, and then played the right audio for another wrong question, got a complete mix up there. Does that mean that the regulatory board are going to be handing out fines in these situations? And so that's kind of an interesting thing, whether you think it sets a precedent or do you think it's a one-off. A wider question that I'd love to ask is, what are your thoughts on exams in general? Should they exist? Should students be tested as often as they are at the moment? Because I know I'm under a great deal of pressure as a student myself, and going into, I just had mock week actually a couple of weeks ago, and they're, it's stressed that they are incredibly important, and yet we seem to be kind of getting to a point where it's overkill on the exams. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on, again, exams in general, whether you think they make sense, whether you think there are too many, whether you think there aren't enough, and whether you think that the exams exams regulatory board fining OCR for a question blunder sets a precedent or not. Now, we've got some Marmalade with Oubladi Oublada. There you go, took a while with that one. But then we've also got some local music from Doug Aldred and the Silverlini. Anyway, back in a moment. That was Doug Aldred and the Silverlini, Long Way Down, an amazing local track there on Vectis Radio. You may have heard me stumble about which track was coming next before, but that was mainly because I was looking at the time. It's 22 minutes to 2. This is IMO, my favourite segment. IMO, of course, standing for In My Opinion. It's where I take stories from all across the internet, shove them on a bit of paper, explain the situation to everybody listening, and then ask your opinions after sharing mine, because I love to share these types of things and I love to hear what people are thinking. But so before that, we were talking about how OCR of the exam board OCR have received a fine for a blunder incorrectly associating a character in the Shakespeare play Romeo and Juliet with the wrong family, which, if you know the play, is quite a bit of a mistake. It's quite a big mistake, that. But what I wanted to talk about now was an amazing good news story coming out of Thailand. And so 12 boys who were... I believe it's 12 or 13. 12 or 13 boys who were a football team had gone caving after a football match. And they had gone into this cave and it was dry and they could walk around and it was fine. But then suddenly, as it is rainy season in Thailand, the rains came down, and the cave was soon quite flooded. And the boys had been missing for 9 days in this slowly flooding cave system. And the amazing news is that late on Monday, they were found by a team of specialist divers. And I really wanted to share this just as a good news story. It really kind of gave me a warm, fuzzy glow when I learnt this news, because it was just very uplifting to know that they had been found and they'd been found safe. So, yeah, they'd been found on a small dry ledge above the flooded kind of level of water. The two specialist British divers that had flown in to help with the rescue effort were the ones who eventually found them. The search for the boys had gripped the nation, as it was unclear whether they would be found alive. As you would expect, the families of the group were ecstatic at the news of their discovery. And that is the amazing bit about the story. It's not completely over, though, however, because they aren't sure how to get the boys out at the moment. The conditions for diving were incredibly, incredibly difficult. Even the specialist divers that had flown in found it very difficult to find their way through this cave system. And so the question is, do they get these boys diving gear and kind of pull them out that way? Or are they going to have to send food and supplies through the flooded cave system for months until the rainy season ends? But either way, it is an amazing thing that they have all been found safely and lovely. And again, I just lovely. It's an amazing good news story. And firstly, I want to thank all of the amazing people who were involved in this rescue effort and the amazing skill and commitment to it. And secondly, I would like to pose the question: How far would you go to help another? Now, that seems quite a questioning question. That doesn't make any sense, but I've forgotten where I was going with that. I wrote this yesterday and I'm quite tired and it's quite hot. But the other question actually I wanted to ask was, how have you helped someone else today? You can let us know via texts to 60777, starting their message with BR6TT. You can also tweet us at Vectis Radio. We've got Magic with Rude, and then we'll be back with some more news. Well, it is coming up to the end of IMO this particular time, but I wanted to end it on a classic, on our favourite topic here on the IMO show. You may remember, if you were listening a while ago when I was doing this with James and Judith, one of our favourite topics was a certain American billionaire who was fired his car into space, also known as Elon Musk. Yes, I'm bringing that back, as if I wasn't flogging the dead horse already. No, there has been some new news around Elon Musk. It's kind of quite a silly thing. It's quite a quick thing. That's why I thought I'd shove it in quickly here at the end. And it's that he's put out a tweet saying 7,000 cars, 7 days, heart emoji, the Tesla team, heart emoji. That's in reference to the increased production seen at the company in recent weeks. They've actually had to assemble their new production line in a tent to meet with demand. And after this new statistic, he's been claiming that they're now a real car company. And now, this was retweeted, so this was quoted and commented on by the CEO of Ford Europe. And they said, 7,000 cars, circa 4 hours, heart emoji, the Ford team, heart emoji. Now, that leaves me speechless, doesn't it? That's something that you really just don't expect from, you know, big business people. Surely they should be doing big businessy things, surely. Shouldn't they be doing that? Doing big businessy things instead of tweeting at each other about the amount of... It's kind of like brag... It's just a silly playground insult battle, this is. It's a bit silly, isn't it? It's a bit silly. And my question that I wanted to pass on this brief bit of Musk news was, why are big business people getting into Twitter spats like this? And the secondary question, the bit more of a serious question, the question with a bit more substance is this an example of petrol-powered car industry attempting to subdue the threat of Tesla's electronic vehicles? Because Teslas are electric cars. I've seen a few on the island, actually. They're amazingly futuristic, as is most things that Elon Musk does. And it's just an interesting and quite a bizarre out-of-the-blue slapdown from the CEO of Ford. And I just wanted to share that and ask what you think about it. You can text us your thoughts to 60777, starting that message with BR6TT. And you can also tweet us at Vectis Radio. We've got Basement Jacks now taking us up to the news. And then we will be heading out and about. Thanks so much for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, tune in live to the Wednesday afternoon show on Vectis Radio from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. We hope to see you there.